As the NEFB convention is wrapping up in Kansas City, the chance to sit down with that undersecretary. Hello, once again, I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network, and Richard Fordyce joins us, a friend of agriculture, a friend of farm broadcasters. You've had a nice variety of roles over the years, but I think you just being here, and perfect timing, we came back after a government shutdown, and word spread like wildfire through the newsroom that, hey, we're going to have an undersecretary here. And nobody questioned who it was going to be. They all figured it's going to be Richard.
Well, Susan, as you know, I've attended the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for a long time. And as you also said, in different roles, I think probably first as a director on the United Soybean Board, as, you know, a farmer director, then as director of the Missouri Department of Agriculture. Then as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency, and now as the undersecretary. So, you know, it is great to see you and the other broadcasters. This is kind of an annual kind of family reunion for folks in agriculture.
Absolutely. So let's talk earlier in the week, the SDRP was rolled out. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program is kind of the final piece in the $30 billion appropriation that we got through the act that was passed by Congress in December of 2024. And folks will remember the economic aid that was the first piece that was rolled out. That was around $10 billion. And then the supplemental disaster relief in the first stage was the next thing in July. And now this is the final piece. And so what we hope to pick up with this final piece of disaster relief are folks that were either underinsured, not insured, folks that experienced quality losses across all kinds of different crops. And then also part of this is the milk loss program and the on-farm stored commodity loss program.
So a lot of things, getting the details, getting the information out. Nice to be able to do that with the government reopened.
Yes.
Folks can kind of, I think, you know, even though the government was closed, there was still a sense, I think, from a data perspective, we didn't have, but from an assistance to our farmers and ranchers in their local FSA, or just that part of it, really was kind of a relief for them during that closure.
It was. When the government did shut down, we did too, for a few days, and I don't know what the number of days were, maybe 10 or so, and we kind of realized that we probably need some folks in the office just to get the mail and, you know, see if there's something coming in. Is there something we can do to assist farmers on a limited basis? And so we did that for some days, and then we did get clearance to have two folks go into the local FSA offices and conduct business and implement programs that were funded by CCC. And so during a government shutdown, it's all about where is the funding coming from to support whatever the activity is. And so there were dollars in CCC, for example, to do marketing assistance loans, to do ARC and PLC payments. And so we were able to put folks in the offices to facilitate those, plus some other programs that were exclusively CCC-funded programs. And so, I mean, I do know, you know, I heard from a lot of farmers that certainly appreciated, you know, the ability to move the ARC and PLC payments forward. But maybe more importantly were those marketing assistance loans, especially in cotton country. Cotton and peanuts are almost exclusively initially marketed through marketing assistance loans. So being able to move that forward was really important to folks.
And looking at, you guys really hit the ground running, boots up, straps tight. Not only did you have, we just talked about with the rollout, but you got some CRP payments that are going to be headed out.
Yeah, so, the day the government opened up, we were all fully open across the mission area. So FSA folks were back, NRCS folks were back, and we did do the first CRP payment run. I think it was on Wednesday of this week. Those are done in tranches depending on how the contracts were structured, and so we do an initial payment based on whatever contract structure it was, and then, you know, we could do the next one, and we do the next one, and we do the next one, and I don't know how many there are, but, you know, those all ought to be pretty well completed by, you know, mid to late first week of December. So, you know, we're going to be in pretty good shape. We're a little behind on CRP payments because of the shutdown, or we're going to catch up pretty quick.
Tell me a little bit more about this farmer relief program. The Ag Secretary, she's been talking about it.
Right.
What does it entail that you know to this point? Because obviously discussions and workings.
Sure.
And who is it going to assist?
So, you know, that's a great point. And, you know, lots of I think, speculation probably in the press about what that program's going to look like. You know, I've been a part of those discussions, the Secretary, the White House, the Chief Economist's Office, you know, talking about what would something look like. And, you know, no decisions made yet at this point. But I will say that, you know, with that partnership with the Chief Economist's Office at USDA, whatever happens will be done through an informed decision based on data, based on where we are at that point in time, and assist folks growing, you know, it could be a commodity, you know, specifically to a commodity, but where we are at that point in time, you know, given some of the activity. You know, the president was pretty successful in getting some new trade agreements. You know, the big one was the commitment by China, 12 to 12.5 million metric tons this marketing year, 25 million metric tons in the next 2 years. But also other trade agreements with other countries, you know, kind of building that demand and looking at new markets. And so I think that's important. But anyway, the conversation continues. And I'm sure that when and if a program is announced, that it will be based on informed information and data, and should be pretty representative of where we are at the time.
And just removal of tariffs too that just happened on Brazilian beef, coffee, and several fruits. I mean, I don't know what the fruits were, but it seems it's going to retroactive back to, I think, the 13th of November.
I think that's correct. And then, you know, we also have seen through the president's actions some relief on tariffs on fertilizer and some other inputs that agriculture, you know, really rely on. And I think that's going to help as well.
As you look forward into the rest of this year, and as you kind of get comfortable, do you ever really get comfortable in the role of an undersecretary? But you know what I mean.
Right.
As you get moving through this process, what are some things that you're really looking forward to doing or hoping to move forward with?
Yeah, you know, before I completely answer that question, Susan, you know, I just want to give a shout out to, you know, all the people that work on behalf of American agriculture and county offices and state offices across this country. You know, they're passionate about what they do. They love agriculture. They love supporting farmers and ranchers across the country. They're very, very good at it. And so, you know, I just want to say a huge thank you to those folks. But, you know, as we look to the future, you know, it's my desire and certainly other folks within our mission area and the Secretary's office to modernize the tools that our folks use and to modernize the tools that our farmers and ranchers use to participate in programs and to do acreage reporting. And, you know, there's a whole lot of interaction and intersection with farmers and USDA within the three agencies that we have in our mission area. You know, it's crop insurance, it's NRCS, it's FSA. All of those agencies, there was a specific reason why those agencies were all put together under one mission area. It's because those are the three farmer-facing agencies mm-hmm. within USDA. And so if we can somehow develop tools, ways to connect with farmers, that if you've done it once, for example, at FSA, you don't have to do it again. At
nice.
RMA, you don't have to do it again at NRCS. And so just modernizing acreage reporting, modernizing the tools, and making it easier and less cumbersome for farmers and ranchers to work with us is going to be ultimately my goal as we move forward in this administration.
Well, we look forward to hearing and having more conversations with you down the road, wherever your boots take you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to talk about it. And, you know, when we have something to share, would love to sit down and visit with you about it.
And I think what makes you unique is you're not a sit in the DC office behind a desk type of man.
No. I want to get out and see what's going on. You know, you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, my experience is, you know, is kind of Corn Belt agriculture, you know, farming in Northwest Missouri. And there's a whole bunch of other agriculture in this country that is super interesting, you know, probably I don't know that much about, and I want to learn about it. And so you can't do that sitting at a desk.
Well, let's stay in touch, because we know a guy here at American Ag Network who grows a lot of sugar beets. We'll get you taken care of.
I know who you're talking about. Absolutely. All right.
Thanks so much. Undersecretary Richard Fordyce joining us here at the NAFB convention in Kansas City.
Thank you, Susan.
I'm Susan Littlefield. Thank you.